The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, it reads as follows. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Last week I talked about the fruit of the Spirit is love. And after the service, one of the visitors asked me a question. And perhaps you've been wondering the same thing. They wanted to know, this fruit I've been talking about, is this fruit winning souls to Christ? And I said, absolutely not. The fruit I'm talking about is the fruit of the Spirit of God in you. I'm talking about your new nature. And if you're ever going to win people to Christ, you first must be won to Christ yourself. In other words, you got to be more like Him. And the fruit of His Spirit is what I've been talking about the last couple of weeks. And so I'm still talking about the fruit of the Spirit's love. And today I want to call this message, Show and Tell. Show and Tell. Now we know that Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, is a book of wisdom. Amen? And here in chapter 11, 30th verse, it teaches us that the fruit of the righteous precedes the fruit of soul winning. Make no mistake about it. Before you can bear fruit winning souls, you need to bear fruit of the righteous. Now, the Apostle Paul, he referred to the fruit of the Spirit as the fruit of righteousness in Philippians chapter 1, verse 11. And so when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about the fruit of righteousness. We're talking about the same thing. But yet the wisdom here in Proverbs tells us that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Why is it a tree of life? Because it's in full bloom. Because of all the fruit on that tree. And that tree says it is alive, not dead, not almost dead, not dying, not barely hanging on. But this tree is full of life. And because this tree is full of life, and he who wins souls is wise. And for those of you that remember from grammar school, the word "and" is a conjunction. Conjunction connect two phrases or sentences together. So we can't separate one from the other. You can't talk about being a soul winner if you're not bearing the fruit of the righteous. And if you're not being a tree of life. Is that right? I'm talking about show and tell. And I thought about this because I know that many kindergarten and grade school teachers, and we have some educators here today, so you can say amen to this, but many kindergarten and grade school teachers, they incorporate show and tell in their curriculums. Is that right? And they do that to help their students develop and demonstrate listening and speaking skills for effective communication for a listener, whoever that listener might be, so that listener can understand important ideas, people, places, and things. And that's the whole point behind show and tell. Is that right? So what am I saying? Winning souls is like show and tell. You got to show them before you tell them. Show it before you tell it. This is what Proverbs is telling us. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. A tree of life. And last week we talked about the tree just a little bit. The psalmist also talked about you being like a tree. He says, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, bringing forth fruit in his season, and his leaf also shall not wither. But whatsoever he does, whatsoever he doeth, shall prosper. This is the idea, image that God has for every one of us. He wants to see us as a tree connected to the flow of his spirit, planted by the rivers of waters, bringing forth fruit in his season. Every one of us ought to be bearing fruit to some degree. None of us should have leaves that are withered. How can your leaf be withered when you're connected to the life supply water called the Holy Ghost? How can your leaf be withered? Your leaf should never be withered. You're not dried out. You're not dying out. You're full of life. And if you're ever going to win somebody to Christ, what they see will always go further than what you say. Did you hear what I said, church? You want to tell it, but they want to see it. And there's so many people live shabby lives. Shabby lives. And got the nerve to tell somebody else about trying Jesus when you haven't even tried him. You don't even believe him. You're living like the devil himself sometimes, slipping in and out of darkness. But you got the nerve to tell somebody how good God is. But you haven't allowed God to be good to you. How can you win somebody until you have been first won over yourself? And so we can do all the talk in the world about the fruit of the Spirit, but it's meaningless if we don't understand the relationship between the fruit and relating to other people. Is that right? Isaiah 61, remember Isaiah talked about the Messiah. How the Spirit of the Lord would be upon him and when he came. And those that believe in the Messiah, Isaiah said, and they shall be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that God may be glorified. What's glorifying God in your life? This is the question we all got to ask ourselves. What's glorifying God in your life? And if you cannot answer that question in the affirmative, then you are not a tree of righteousness. And so you never get to that part, and he who winneth souls is wise. So we think the most important thing is getting people to come to Christ? No. The most important thing is that you be like Christ. That's the most important thing, that you be like Christ. So Isaiah said, we're going to be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. My life should glorify God. Your life should glorify God. In Matthew chapter 7, in part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus preached and he taught. He says, therefore, by their fruits, you shall know them. You shall know a tree by the fruit it bears. You see, you can talk all you want. And a lot of people got a lot of talk about a lot of things. But when are you going to walk the walk and not just try to talk the talk? Jesus says, by their fruits, you shall know them. We should be fruit inspectors. first inspecting the fruit of the tree of our own lives first and foremost. Not looking at somebody else's life, looking them up and down and say, well, this ain't right in their life. That ain't right. Maybe they need to try this. No, you need to look at the fruit in your own life and ask yourself, is my life glorifying God? Now, a tree of life, it attracts, it doesn't repel folk. And how many people repel just from your presence? They see you come in one way, they go out the other way. You're on one side of the mall, they're going to walk on the other side. A tree of righteousness, a tree of life, it always attracts, it does not repel. It attracts people to its fruit and to its shade. Now, if your life is full of foliage, in other words, your leaves have not withered, then your life ought to bring shade to other people's lives. And what am I saying when I said shade? You ought to bring comfort, not discomfort. You ought to bring comfort, not conflict. Is that right? You ought to be the walking epitome of good news. One of the things about Jesus' ministry, and he was criticized for this, the Pharisees criticized Jesus because he ate with sinners. Luke chapter 15, he ate with sinners. Sinners received him. The reason why sinners, they received Jesus is because Jesus walked in love. He loved sinners. Because he knew that they were creations of God. He knew that's why he came, to seek and to save that which was lost. How can you win somebody that you have disdain for? And the reason you have disdain for them, because you're not exhibiting or exemplifying the fruit of the Spirit in your own life. But the sinners, they love Jesus. He received sinners. He didn't repel them. They didn't go the other way when they saw him coming. They loved Jesus because Jesus loved them and he cared about them and he wanted to lift them up. And you can't lift nobody up until you be lifted up yourself. Is that right? So a tree of life attracts, not repel people. It attracts people to his fruit and to his shade. And how do you do that? By consistently exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit are the attributes, they are the character and the very nature of Christ himself. This is what Jesus said in John 15. He said, I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. We're connected to him. And how could you be connected to him and be of a different nature than him? How could you be connected to the vine but have different attributes in the branch? The branches of a totally different character. He is the vine, we're the branches. We are connected to him. He is our source, and the fruit of the Spirit are nothing more than the attributes of God in us, nothing more than his character. Have you embraced those attributes? Have you decided you're going to emulate his character? Have you decided to take off the old nature and put on the nature of Christ? Jesus walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee one day, and he came upon Peter, Andrew, and his brother James, and he said to them, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. What was he really saying to those three men? Come, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. If Peter, Andrew, and James were going to follow Jesus, then they were going to begin to emulate some of his attributes. they were going to allow his character to form their character, and they were going to take upon themselves the nature of Christ himself. Now, it's a learning experience. It doesn't happen overnight. The same way a tree doesn't grow up overnight. A tree takes time to grow. And even after the tree grows, it has seasons. Is that right? A tree of life has seasons. A tree of life has seasons. I'll never forget the first time I went to Panama, walking down the street. And I saw a cashew tree. I saw many cashew trees. The cashew nut, I saw the tree. Oh, they came, the cashew comes from trees. And I could even reach up and pick one. And I never knew that it was really like a green fruit. And the part that we call the nut is just the center of the fruit. And I tried tasting it, and it was really bitter because it had to undergo a process to be edible. But every tree has a season. The problem is we're not sure about our tree. We're not sure if we're really a tree of life. Remember now, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. We're not sure if we're a tree of life. And if we are sure that we're a tree of life, then we're confused about our season. Trees have seasons. And it's all right to be in your season, whatever it is. But in your season, you got to make sure you're walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of your flesh. Now, let me break down at least three seasons in a way you can understand. Spiritually speaking, if you were a tree of life, maybe you're in a season, and we're going back to Proverbs, fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. So let's focus on he who wins souls is wise. And the predicate of that is that you cannot win souls unless you are a tree of life, and you're not a tree of life if you don't have the fruit of righteousness. So what season are you in? When it comes to soul winning, many of us, we just take off and we want to tell everybody about Jesus. And there's still some things that we need to learn for ourselves. Or we retreat in our corner and we don't tell nobody about Jesus because we're just thankful. We're grateful that when we die, we're going to heaven, but we're not so sure about sharing this with somebody else. But you got to know what season you're in, and regardless of that season, there is no combination. You should not feel guilty. Maybe you're in a season when all you can do is invite a soul. Invite them to a worship service. Invite them to a teaching service. But that's a good start. You see, your tree may not be as tall and as strong as somebody else's tree. Your tree may not have as many leaves. Your tree may not have as much fruit. And maybe the fruit on your tree is still a little underdeveloped. Maybe the fruit on your tree is still a little unripe. But you still can invite souls to come. To come into the presence of God. That's a good start, just inviting. But if that's where you are, then be faithful where you are. Then you might be in a season where you are a tree of life that can even introduce people, a lost soul, to Christ. Well, how do you introduce them? That's what we call soul winning. Soul winning is nothing more than proclaiming the good news, introducing people to Jesus Christ. And how can you introduce them to Christ when they look at your life and don't see Christ? But we can introduce people. And God has given us tools in the Word of God to do that. Most of you perhaps don't have the confidence to win somebody one-on-one to Christ. Now, I've had the privilege of doing that many, many times over the years. In fact, I would take folk out to lunch for the sole purposes of witnessing to them one-on-one, telling them about Jesus Christ. But many of you don't ever tell somebody about Jesus. You haven't introduced anybody to Jesus. But we have tools that God has given us in the Word of God. And I like those tools, and I call them the four Roman laws. If you just familiarize yourself with a few verses in the book of Romans, and you believe those verses, then those verses becomes like fruit on the tree of your life, and then you can show people before you try to tell people. Those laws are real simple. Do I need to walk through them? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. But some of you have never introduced Christ to somebody. You've introduced your friend to another friend. You've introduced your friend to some stranger, or some stranger to a relative or a loved one. But you never introduced anybody to Christ. Is it because you're not clear about if you plan it? Is it because you're not sure what season you're in? Is it because your leaf has withered? So what you do is not going to prosper. But the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. And what makes them wise? I think the wisdom comes first and foremost, not because you introduced somebody to Christ. The wisdom came because you had fully embraced him yourself. But God has given us tools to introduce people to Christ. The four Roman laws, I love them. And the first law is in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's a good beginning. Everybody's a sinner. Even those of us in here, we are redeemed sinners. We are forgiven sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Roman law number two, just trying to show you how to introduce people to Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. If all has sinned, then there has to be consequences of the sin. And chapter 6, verse 23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, oh my God. How can you tell somebody about the gift of God? They don't see the gift of God in you. But the gift of God is eternal life. That's Roman law number two. There's only four. Then Roman law number three. Even though all have sinned, and even though death is the wages for sin, God loves you so much. How can you tell somebody God loves them if they don't believe you love them? Remember, we talked about last week, loving God, loving others as we love ourselves. So how can I tell you or preach to you that God loves you when you, and then you look at me and you don't believe I love you? But Roman law number three comes from Romans chapter 5, verse 8. For God has commended, in other words, God has demonstrated his love toward you in that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. That's how much God loves you. And we need to tell people the truth. They don't need to come to Jesus or come to the church to get redeemed. Honey, they've been redeemed. When Jesus died on Calvary's cross, they were redeemed right then and there. And he's waiting for them to come and join the celebration. Then Roman law number four. If you confess with your mouth, Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall, that's right, you. Yes, you shall be saved. Well, how will I know I'm saved? For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then if you want to really put some icing on the cake, just go on to verse 13 of chapter 10. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter how deep, dark, and vile your deeds may have been. But whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is a tree of life. That is the fruit of righteousness. So if you can't introduce people to Christ, just invite them to church. Invite them to teaching. And believe me, your tree is going to grow. Your leaves are going to even bloom. Your fruit is going to grow. But there's another thing we can do. There's another season for a tree of life. If you even may say, well, I know I'm not in the invite season. I'm in the introduce season. But there's another season where you instruct people in Christ. And that's called discipleship. In other words, you instruct new believers. See, when a person comes to Christ, they're just a baby. Regardless how old they are, how young they might be, they're just a baby. And many times, because we don't have the fruit of the Spirit, we want to put that baby through all kinds of rules and regulations. We want them to jump the hoops that we haven't even jumped through. We want to tell that baby, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the other. That's not what a baby needs. A baby needs love. A baby needs nurturing. That's what a baby needs. And so that's legalism that we want to blend in with the fruit. If you take legalism and try to mix it in with the fruit of the Spirit, you have destroyed the fruit itself. You got to accept people the way they are, because Jesus himself, he said,
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net, 1430 South New Hope Road, Agape Word Fellowship.
Hi, I'm Jackie Diaz, inviting you to worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. Hear a life-changing message of God's unconditional love and acceptance that will strengthen and bless you. Agape Word Fellowship is located at 1430 South New Hope Road in Raleigh. Children and youth ministries are available. Casual dress is always welcome. Agape Word Fellowship is the home of word power. Hola, soy Jackie Diaz, invitándolos a adorar a nuestro Señor los domingos a las 10 de la mañana. Escucha un mensaje de amor incondicional y aceptación y bendición y fortaleza. Los ministerios de niños y jóvenes están disponibles. Vestido casual es bienvenido. Agape Word Fellowship es la casa del poder de la palabra.